Brothers and sisters, for this divine healing meeting, we've shared the sermon series, God's Goodwill, preached by our shepherd during the 1997 two-week revival meeting. Today is the last session of that series. Before that, we talked about, we've reflected on the goodness that God acknowledges and is pleased with, and how He loves us and manifests mighty and amazing works. These messages speak of the levels of goodness and faith that are far beyond that of the average believer. Although many have been moved and led to repentance through the words, that alone is not enough to fulfill them. To achieve the goodness that pleases God, not only should you be sanctified, but you have to empty yourself and have a heart and mind centered solely on God and the truth. Such goodness does not come from occasional acts, but from a heart of goodness and truth that is ever present and directed toward all. Each session was moving and inspiring. We learned about the merits and good points of these fathers of faith, and these people also made good confessions. I hope you remember them, and we remember their situation and apply them in our lives. And as we pray upon them, in that situation, you may. Such a person has no enemies, even if greatly wronged by a wicked person or facing unbearable hardship, he doesn't harbor hatred, complaint, or resentment. No matter the circumstance, he gives and yields, and above all, he trusts in and looks to God, joyfully practicing goodness and truth. When we hear the word goodness, we only think about a kindness or being nice, but the goodness that God talks about is, and these fathers of faith were good in God's sight. They weren't just good before man, but also they had God-pleasing deeds, and they trusted God, and this was true goodness. Even though you may be good to worldly people, if you cannot come before God with faith, you cannot be called to have true goodness. How do you remember these messages, and how do you keep those messages in your heart? And how much have you prayed upon them? Just because you hear the word doesn't mean it's yours. Even after you receive grace, you have to examine whether you have not forgotten them. That's why we have to repeatedly listen to the word and apply them in your life and pray upon them repeatedly. Even if we do so, we may forget them a lot. Just because you memorize all of them, even though you may have, as we hold on to the message and cultivate our hearts with the word and change ourselves into such people, the word remains in our hearts. We contain the word in our heart. Some people memorize the words very well and organize them, but if they don't cultivate them in their hearts, it's not truly theirs. Also, after we cherish these words of life, how are you cherishing those messages? I hope you have a time to examine it once again. This is a very profound level and high level of goodness. Not just ordinary people can achieve it. Not just any Christians can achieve it. Of course, this message is not easily heard. And even if you heard this message, it's difficult to make it your own. Even after you achieve sanctification, you have to shatter yourself again and again, and this is at such deep levels of goodness. By the way, God has given the members of Manmin such deep messages about goodness. Back in 1997, even 30 years before, and now He's giving this message and has allowed us such messages. And at times, when we compare ourselves to this word, the gap may seem too great, making us wonder, can I really achieve this? Yet, God has granted this message, expecting that we will change. So, let us not give up, but diligently follow the truth and become people of beautiful goodness whom God desires. Today, we will reflect on the goodness God wants us to have through the story of Jephthah. Through the message, we have to look for things to repent of and receive answers and blessings. Brothers and sisters, as it is written, faith without works is dead. No matter how deeply we are moved or realize about ourselves through messages of goodness, if we fail to act accordingly, they are meaningless. For example, we make a resolve amidst the fullness of the Spirit. I must cast off my cunning heart. I should give to the needy, or I would donate this much to the church construction. But if we forget and change our minds after some time, what benefit will be there in the grace and the work of the Holy Spirit we've received? Receiving grace means, don't think you receive grace, you have a good heart or you have a good vessel. It's from God and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you awakening and enlightenment, and He tells you what to do, instructs on what to do. Even after we abundantly receive that, if we fail to keep them, fail to make that our own, it's no use. How long have you led such a Christian life? I told you before, during the two-week revival meeting, when there was a seminar, when there was a summer retreat, when I prayed, Father God gives you grace, but the problem is in ourselves. We receive grace, but depending on how much we make it our own. When I prayed, I focused on that. I believe that Father God would give a lot of grace, but on top of receiving grace, I have to change myself and bear fruit. That was my focus of my prayer. That's how I prepare for such times of grace. Even now, the Holy Spirit is sharing His boundless grace. Are you lacking word? Are you lacking the works of the Holy Spirit? Never. The problem is in us. I hope you have a time to realize about yourself and make a resolve. And the Holy Spirit guides our hearts toward the path of answers and blessings. But if we fail to maintain our resolve, the Holy Spirit leads us to bear fruit. Sometimes He gives us grace to make a resolve, and just like the case of Jephthah, sometimes also He urges us to make a resolve or sometimes make a vow leading us to the way of righteousness. But if we fail to keep our heart, we cannot receive blessings. Therefore, in order to truly become people of goodness, it's important to guard our heart without change. Also, how can we expect to receive God's answers and love if we pray, saying, I'll do this, or I'll do that, but then fail to fulfill our vow? This too is a result of wavering heart, and it keeps us from receiving His blessings. In this message, we will look at a person from the Bible who faithfully kept his vow and reflect on why being unwavering is so important and why God calls it goodness. Brothers and sisters, today's message is titled, I Will Offer It Up as a Burnt Offering. This is from the scene where Jephthah, a judge of Israel, made a vow to God. First, let us look at the background of why Jephthah made such a vow. Jephthah was a mighty warrior from Gilead, a region in Israel. He was the son of Gilead, born to a prostitute. The region and his father shared the same name. However, Jephthah's half-brothers drove him out from Gilead, not wanting him to receive any inheritance. Driven out, Jephthah went to Tob, his mother's homeland. There, many people followed him, and he was able to form a strong force. At the time, the Israelites had turned away from God and worshipped foreign idols, foreign gods like Baal. As a result, they suffered oppression from the Philistines and Ammonites for 18 years. Since they served idols, God couldn't protect them. The times of the judges, this happened repeatedly. They turned away from the word, and they were out of God's protection. As a result, they were attacked by the Gentiles. They were bothered, harassed, oppressed. Because the Israelites had heard about the God, and they know about the how God worked, so they repented and returned, and they asked God for forgiveness. And then God sent them a judge, His people, to help them resolve their problems and hardships. This happened repeatedly in the book of Judges, and one of them is one of the cases, Jephthah. Before Jephthah became the judge, it was the situation in Israel. The Israelites had turned away from God and were attacked and was in trouble, and they were asking God for help. And Judges chapter 10 verse 10 says, We have sinned against you, for we have abandoned our God and served Baals. To receive healing and answer, you have to truly repent, sincerely repent. If you cover up your faults and then just say, Father God, help me. You are great. You are almighty. You say all kinds of beautiful words in prayer, and you ask God for answer and blessings. First thing you have to do is repent. You have to confess what sins and wrongs you did, how you disobeyed, how you failed to live out of word, how you hated others, how you showed irritation, how you broke. Stop praying. You have to thoroughly repent and turn from your ways. The Israelites repent before God like that, and they pleaded with God to deliver them from the hands of the Gentile nations. Meanwhile, the Ammonites launched an attack, and although the Israelites encamped at Mizpah, the Israelites were preparing for the war after asking God, and they were preparing themselves to go to the battle. But the problem was that there was no general to lead the army into battle. This was a big problem. Even though the Israelites were united as one in fighting the enemy, even though they gathered together, but there was no warrior general to lead them into battle because they had no general. So even if they had prepared, they were not able to go out into battle. After much deliberation, the elders of Gilead finally thought of Jephthah living in Tob. They asked him to lead a fight, saying, "If you defeat the Ammonites and save our nation, we will make you our commander." In response, Jephthah returned to Israel with his followers to save his fellow Israelites. And the first thing he did was send messengers to the king of Ammon, seeking to resolve the dispute peacefully and avoid war. But the king of Ammon refused to back down. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he finally went into battle. The vow Jephthah made to God before going into battle for victory is in today's passage. Why do people make a vow? Because if things are possible, they don't have to make a vow in asking God for help. But when something is beyond their wisdom, they were about to go into battle, and Jephthah was set up as the general, even though they were preparing, they lacked enough strength to defeat the enemy. According to their calculation, it was likely that they were not able to win victory in the battle. That's why he made a vow in asking God for help. Why do we make a vow? Why do we make a vow or make a resolution? Because we are desperately in need of God's help. Without making a vow or without special extra effort, if we receive an answer or get things done without extra effort, we don't have to make a vow. But sometimes when are in big trouble beyond our ability, because we know that it's impossible for us to bring down his answer, we make a vow, we make a resolution before God, or we also make a vow about the offering, make a vow about the prayer, make a vow about the fasting. We try to please God in order to bring down his answer. In order to please him, that's why we make a resolution, make up our minds, and make a vow. That's the same way the Jephthah made a vow. If you will indeed hand over to me the sons of Ammon, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall belong to the Lord, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Hearing Jephthah's earnest vow, God granted Israel a great victory over the Ammonites. Now Jephthah was left with the task of fulfilling the vow he had made to God. But when he returned home safely, the first person to come out and greet him was none other than his beloved only daughter. Overjoyed by her father's triumph, she came out with tambourine and dancing. Imagine the scene. Whether it be returning from a great battle or even just a business trip, and your only daughter, who's been waiting at the door, comes running out to greet you with joy. Let's say you've been on a long trip and you come home, and your only daughter, who's waiting at the door, comes out to greet you with hospitality. How beautiful and precious would she appear in your eyes? But remembering his vow, Jephthah tore his clothes in anguish and lamented bitterly. He said in Judges chapter 11, verse 35, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me." Even though she was his only and beloved daughter, Jephthah could not break the vow he had made to God. Though torn in heart, he did not dare to utter a word to revoke his promise to God. He declared, "I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take it back." How solemn and resolute he was in attitude. Normally, in that situation, people would say, "Father, God, I made a mistake. I didn't know my daughter would come out. I have to think about my vow again." When things unfold contrary to their expectation, they try to change their vow. They deny the vows they made. They also try to do something else. They change their vows according to their benefits. But Jephthah, she came out. She was more precious than because he had a made vow before God. He wanted to fulfill it here. And this daughter was also great. Just as the saying goes, like father, like daughter, Jephthah's daughter also encouraged her father. After hearing all that had happened, she said to her father, "Since you have opened your mouth to the Lord, do to me as you have spoken, for the Lord has brought vengeance for you against the Ammonites." Now, do any of you wonder, why did God allow him to make such a dreadful vow? But our God does not delight in human sacrifice, nor did he require Jephthah to make such a vow. It was Jephthah himself who, in the urgency and pressure of impending war, made this rash promise without careful thought. Because he was desperate, because he was urgent, he thought of something, how he could please God. In his own thoughts, he made such a vow. At that time, burnt offerings were a means of communicating with God like today's worship service, just as, and they offered an animal, or when, like when they have a heart's desire, or when they needed a peace with God, they captured, slaughtered an animal and offered it as a burnt offering. And the first, and Jephthah made a vow that whoever comes out first will be offered up as a burnt offering. And he made a, it was his problem. He, just as we please God by worshiping in spirit and in truth, people in the Old Testament times burn their most precious things and offer them as a fragrant aroma to God. And also Jephthah said that the first one will be offered. So why did Jephthah, as we find in the Bible, "You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God." The first is especially precious and meaningful. In his urgency and desperation, Jephthah relied on God and sought God's answer. So he made a vow to offer the first person, which has a special meaning, as a burnt offering. But he never expected that the person would be his only daughter. Therefore, vows should never be made carelessly. You must not make a vow simply because others are doing so, or because of the atmosphere. One must make a vow from a sincere heart, with a resolve to offer what is most precious to them, and believing that God will be pleased with their devotion and quickly answer and heal them. If you just make a vow without careful thought and and you denied your vow, if you ignore your vow, or you make an excuse that you made a vow because of someone, you make a vow by yourself. Even though someone forces you to make a vow, you shouldn't. If you fail to fulfill it, and then give an excuse that someone forces you to make a vow, you cannot give such an excuse. It is you who make a vow. So you are to blame. You have to take responsibility. And so if you fail to make a... Whatever the reason, Jephthah fulfilled the vow because he made it to God. What we have to understand here is that although Jephthah made a rash vow while he was still spiritually immature, the sincerity with which he carried it out was right in God's eyes. And if such a person is led by God, he can be made complete. It's not easy for us to be perfectly pure and good when we are used by God. God first sees you, and He knows that if He refines you, He will come forth as a proper person. Father God looks at the depths of our hearts, and when we have something acknowledged by God, there's a possibility of our transformation, God uses us, refines us, makes us into more perfect vessel. And when we are made complete, God will be glorified more. And when God evaluates us, He looks at the sincerity of our heart, like the Jephthah, having no change of heart. This is what pleases God. Even though we may have shortcomings, if we have such a sincerity like the Jephthah, God can chooses us. If we have no change of heart, even though we may have shortcomings like we raise our voices, we have a rough character, because we wouldn't have a change of heart. Even though we may go through trials, we wouldn't give an excuse, we wouldn't walk away from God. Instead, we would admit our shortcomings, shatter ourselves, and come forth as God-pleasing people. This is the kind of Jephthah had such a heart, such sincerity. Even though he made somewhat clumsy vow, God listened to his vow, and God gave him great victory. And as a result, even though he had to offer his only daughter, he didn't back down. He didn't give excuse, but he fulfilled it as he vowed. What about you? Have you ever made a vow or a promise to God and then canceled or broken it in pursuit of your benefits? This must never be done. About the... Sometimes we may also say, God, I will do this. I will... There are small resolutions or small resolve like prayer, fasting, offerings. How did you fulfill them? Think about that. After hearing this message, you may have made a lot of resolutions or made a promise. If you have done so, you have to pray and repent. And so that you may have no wall of sin before God. Vows to God should not be made lightly, but once made, they must be kept. Failing to keep a vow may not only hinder answers to prayer, but also become a wall between you and God. Now, hearing this, some of you who have And as I prepared this message, I also, I knew that actually sharing this message was, I was a little concerned. I know that some of you have made a vow and you would feel so heavy-hearted and concerned as you hear this message. And some of you, some people may even leave the church. But vow is a very serious thing. If you fail to fulfill it, you may go through trials. And until you fulfill it, you may go through trials. As I have to deliver this message, I thought about the people who already broken vows. I was concerned about, and people would feel heavy-hearted and feel burdened. I also had such fleshly thoughts, but this is God's word. Even though it is some burdensome or heavy, we have to still deliver it. As you hear this message, you have to find a way to make peace with God. There are also people who have broken vows and there is no way to fulfill it. So then, what should you do? We must realize the seriousness of breaking a vow and truly repent from the heart. There are levels of repentance. There are half-hearted repentance. Because some people hear that it is wrong, they just repent with their lips. They just repent with their lips. And they just say, forgive me. They just say, forgive me. This is not the kind of repentance God receives. You have to repent from the heart. You have to realize that. And out in the world, there are also serious criminal crimes like murder. And you may think, you have to, repentance should not be done half-heartedly or simply because we are told it's wrong. We must understand that disregarding God and neglecting a vow made before Him is a grave sin and repent from the depths of our heart. We should not repent just once or twice. You have to feel apologetic and with a true heart of repentance. I hope you examine it once again. Not only should you repent, you have to and we must strive even harder to become sanctified and stay faithful in doing so. We have to tear down the wall of and then God would acknowledge that even though you made a, you break your vow, and God would recognize your faithfulness, and He would, He may forgive you, and He may remove the wall of sin. It depends on the person, and you know that you shouldn't do things half-heartedly or out of obligation. After you made a vow or a promise, you should not give an excuse or some of you may say, I didn't want to do that. They give an excuse. And some parents, some parents vowed to offer their child as a servant of God, but the some children and you have to, there are different kinds of attitudes and repentance. You have to examine, and you may have made a vow, or and you make a resolution on the condition that Father God, in seeking God's answer, you make a vow. And even after you make a vow, you may forget it. And you say things like, I will devote my life to God. Sometimes people say they make a special extra vow to go into a better dwelling place, or but after some time, they just forget it and they just live as they please. And as you hear this message, they give an excuse. Then they don't have a heart of repentance. This is the act of disregarding God. You shouldn't deny it. You shouldn't neglect it. You have to feel apologetic and feel embarrassed. And you have to pray earnestly and try to become sanctified all the more. When you become sanctified, the wall of sin is removed. And you need to show faithfulness that Father God is pleased with. Then, but if the vow is something you can fulfill, like what you made 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you have to fulfill it. This is the best way. But there are things that you cannot fulfill. Then you have to repent from the heart. Brothers and sisters, then some may wonder, if God truly knew the sincerity of Jephthah's heart, wouldn't it have been better if we had prepared a substitute, like He provided a ram for Abraham when He offered Isaac as a burnt offering? It was so that Jephthah's sincerity before God will be recorded in the Bible, serving as a powerful lesson for future generations on how serious a promise made to God is. In other words, God allowed this incident to become a symbolic reminder that a vow made before Him must be kept no matter the circumstance. Some may ask, was it not unfair for Jephthah's daughter? But was it truly unfair? Absolutely not. A person who has firm trust in God does not try to avoid death if it means fulfilling God's will. Didn't John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul also joyfully face martyrdom because they loved and believed in God from the depths of their hearts? Likewise, Abraham's son Isaac did not resist his father, who intended to offer him as a burnt offering, because he trusted and loved both God and his father. For Abraham and Jephthah, offering their only child as a sacrifice must have been harder than giving up their own lives. Yet they were able to give all because they valued their trust and love for God more than their own lives or even their beloved child. This is the greatest form of love, and it is the highest form of goodness. God received such a heart, and God called it goodness. But what if Isaac or Jephthah's daughter had refused to obey? With Jephthah's upright character, he would have fulfilled his vow to God even if it meant binding his daughter. And if that had happened, Jephthah's daughter would have been recorded in the Bible not as a touching figure, but as a symbol of disobedience. However, without a single word of complaint, like, it wasn't my vow, she honored her father's promise to God with her life. That's why she has been praised and cherished by generations that followed. The father who offered his beloved daughter according to his vow and the daughter who obeyed without sparing her life both showed hearts that were truly good in God's sight. Brothers and sisters, what important lesson can we learn from this? First, we must not make a rash vow before our holy God just because we are in a desperate situation. And this applies not only to vows, as Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We must not speak carelessly, even if our words are not a vow. God hears and knows every word. What matters most is that if we have made a promise or resolved to do something before God, we must keep it. Keep it. When you say make a vow, it's not something we do often. But there are some trivial like promise or trivial resolution before God, like you pray before God, and our shepherd told us when you try to cast off sins and evil, he taught us not to pray like, I will not hate someone. If you pray like that, you have to, but you cannot cast off hatred at once. So he advised us to pray like, Father God, I have a hatred. Please help me cast off hatred. So when you pray, you have to pray wisely. Let's say, if you pray like that repeatedly, like, Father God would. So we have to pray wisely and in a good way and in a loving way and in a truthful way. Then we can receive an answer, and when we offer up aroma, the aroma will be thick and beautiful. In relationship with others, some people always assert this and that, make assertion, and they don't keep them. And they also say things like, I will do that. I will do that. Then, if they repeatedly do that, people wouldn't listen to him because he repeatedly lies. So, trust is broken. The same applies to our relationship with God. When we pray, when we make a confession, we have to be wise and we have to. Some people may say, it's better not to make a vow. It's better not to make a resolution at all. But sometimes making a vow gives us blessing. But you have to know that if you carelessly make a vow, if you make a vow according to your atmosphere, it creates a big problem. So we have learned. Even if we are offering a fasting, just because we have a, like the senior pastor, the shepherd told us that even if we are inspired to offer a long-term fasting, just once, we shouldn't do that at once. Just because you are have some burning desire to do. Actually, long-term fasting is like risking your life. Even if you are ready to risk your life with the mindset of, if I die, I die. You have to prepare yourself thoroughly, and you have to receive the works of the Holy Spirit, and you have to, with the fullness of the Spirit. But if you are affected by the atmosphere, or if you have just a burning passion at once, you just, there are people who have such a character, so without even consulting your parents, consulting with the church, consulting your pastor, you just make a vow to offer a fasting. Because that person has already made a vow before God, no one can deter him. Even the pastor cannot deter him. But if these people cannot keep it, cannot fulfill it, some people are very So as they fail to fulfill that, they create a wall. We have to examine whether such things happen a lot in our lives. The Bible emphasizes the seriousness of promises or vows many times. Deuteronomy chapter 21, 23 verses, the Bible says, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will certainly require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it would not be sin in you. You shall be careful to perform what goes out of your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God whatever you promised. Namely, if you have made a vow, 'I will do this,' or 'I will offer that,' do not delay or break that vow, but make sure to fulfill it." If you arbitrarily change a vow made before God, this is treating God lightly and constitutes a sin. We also find in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that has proceeded out of his mouth." And Psalm chapter 15 verse 4 tells us, "He keeps his oath even when it hurts and does not change." Look at Jephthah. Even though she was his only daughter because of his vow, he offered her to God as a burnt offering. Like a beast, like an animal, she was slaughtered. Her flesh cut from her bones, and her bones separated. Then she was burned as a sacrifice. God heard and answered Jephthah's prayer because he saw a heart, he recognized his heart that would keep his vow. If we had been someone who would change his heart, God would have never answered him. Now, if any of you are thinking, "I pray with a vow, but God didn't answer," or "I made a vow, but haven't received an answer," then you must understand that there is always a reason. Even though our God desires to answer us, if we do not have a heart of keeping our promises, or if we wouldn't fulfill them wholeheartedly, then this is falsehood and not true faith, and God cannot answer us. Like some people offer fasting in order to be healed. Some people offer even 3-day fasting. But some people say, even after 3-day fasting, I was not healed. So you have to reflect on what kind of fasting you offered. Did you just stop eating? Or did you earnestly pray? Did you discover yourself? Did you thoroughly repented? And did you show God-pleasing deeds? Did you pray, fasted with gratitude and with a true heart? Then you can, depending on what kind of heart, what kind of mindset you fasted, what kind of deeds you've shown before God, did you do it out of obligation? Did you grudgingly did it? Father God looks at your mindset. Mind you, therefore, we must truly understand how important it is to have a heart that sincerely keeps promises. This applies to our relationship with people as well. Whether it is a promise to a fellow believer, an unbeliever, or even one made silently in your heart, if you fear God, you must keep it. Why is that? Keeping a promise, no matter who it is made with, is proof that there is no deceit or falsehood in the heart. God is delighted with this. If you have no falsehood, if you have truthfulness, if you have no cunningness, namely, if you don't have the change of heart, God highly recognizes that. If someone frequently breaks promises with people, can they be expected to keep a promise made to God? Those who cannot keep promises to people will all the more easily break promises made to the unseen, invisible God, and may even forget they made such a promise at all. That is why it is important to achieve a truthful heart that keeps promises, whoever they may be made with. Only then can we be recognized by both people and God. Brothers and sisters, the Bible also gives examples of those who are loved and blessed by God because they kept their promises. First, let us take Jacob, the ancestor of Israel, as an example. Jacob ended up bound by a promise to work for 14 years to gain his beloved wife. This wasn't something he chose willingly. It was a result of being deceived by his cunning uncle. Moreover, his uncle was so untrustworthy that he changed Jacob's wages 10 times. Yet, Jacob still faithfully kept his promise and worked with unwavering diligence for 14 years. You may give an excuse like, because someone else was evil, I did that. Because someone is evil, you have to respond with evil? No. Even though someone else is evil, you have to respond with goodness. This is the kind of goodness God wants from us. But we respond with evil and we commit evil and then we blame others and blame our surroundings. But Jacob, what about Jacob? His uncle Laban deceived Jacob multiple times, but Jacob still faithfully kept his promises. Because he had such a heart, God chose Jacob. As God blessed Jacob, even though his uncle Laban changed his heart many times, God blessed Jacob. His possessions increased greatly. On top of that, when he left his uncle's household, he had many cattle, donkeys, flocks, and servants. Being such a person, Job also kept the promises he made to God. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 21 and 22, Jacob declared, "If I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house. And all of that, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." And indeed, after returning safely, Jacob built an altar at Bethel as he had promised, and he faithfully gave the tithe as he had vowed. Because he was a man who kept the promises made before both God and people, God loved Jacob more than Esau and made him the father of the chosen nation Israel. Another example is Hannah, the mother of the great judge of Israel, Samuel. She too fulfilled the vow she made to God. For many years, Hannah was barren, and she vowed, "If you give me a son, I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Offering an only child to God is never easy, but how much better is that than having no child at all? When you make a vow, even though the vow is something very big and difficult, you know that Father God will be pleased with it. That's why people make a vow. Hannah was barren. And when she received a child, she promised to dedicate it to God. And he would be raised in a temple. It was better than having no child at all. That's why she made a vow. What about you? When you pray for healing or desires of your heart, don't you say, "God, if you heal me, I will be faithful with all my life. Or if you answer me, I will give this amount as an offering." Yet, after receiving the answer, many people change their minds. Though it is man's natural duty to repay grace, they are those who instead forsake the grace they received. But Hannah was not like that. God heard her prayer and gave her a son. And when that precious child, Samuel, was weaned, she brought him to the temple and offered him fully as a servant of God, just as he had vowed. He was weaned, and she actually handing that child over to someone else was never easy. She must have, but Hannah, she was a, she had a child, her first child, and then she gave it to the temple, and she fulfilled her vow as he had made. God was pleased with Hannah's good heart, and brothers and sisters, when someone makes a vow before God because they desperately seek an answer to a problem beyond their own strength and effort, would they vow something easy? No, they vow something difficult and demanding. Also, on the part of God, when someone lacks the justice, he lacks the justice in terms of sowing. He lacks the justice in terms of transformation. That's why he cannot receive an answer and blessing. But he makes a vow to seek an answer. So he wanted to please God more. And so he make a vow, make a promise. Would he do something easy or effortless? If he makes... When we seek a great answer, we try to do something great, like a vow that is so great. But when that vow is faithfully kept, God makes sure to pour out His amazing blessings. For example, when someone makes a vow for a church construction offering and keeps it within the appointed time, despite difficult circumstances, God surely blesses them. But when the vow is delayed, so is the blessing. And if they don't fulfill it at all, it becomes a wall that blocks the blessing. Now, some of you may think, I just won't make any vows or promise. Then you have to know that, as 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 says, now this I say, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Because you sow nothing, you can't reap anything either. And just as I said, you are seeking a great answer and you want to have a quick answer. You want to be healed quickly and you try to please God. To please God, you make a vow, you make a vow prayer, and you make a resolution, and you make the effort in order to please God. And some people wish. So some people volunteer to suffer more in order to receive an answer, like by making a vow, by fasting, or by giving offerings. As they please God like that, they believe that God would bless them. That's why that they make such a difficult vow. Without faith, they don't have to do that. Because they believe that God would answer them, they try to please God, so they make a vow or promises before God. And if we don't make any vows or promises, God would... But some people want to receive greater answer or give glory to God more and want it to be used by God more greatly. For that purpose, some people make a vow, make a promise, make a resolution, and if they fulfill them, God would bless them abundantly. If you sow in faith, you will reap a 60, a 30, and a 100-fold. What a great blessing you will receive if you sow in faith. This is a... Therefore, I pray that all of you will believe in the God who repays each according to what they have sown and done. Do your best in faith and receive answers to all your prayers and petitions. I remember, you may wonder, because if I make a vow, I will receive great answer. Does this mean you have to make vows easily? No, you have to prepare yourself. You have to be certain that that vow will be fulfilled. You have to consider your time and environment, and you have to be wholehearted. And also the enemy, devil, and Satan tries to hinder you or interfere with you. Like when you make a 100-day prayer, vow to offer a 100-day prayer, you may face hindrances, but if you fulfill them, you will receive blessings. After, once you make a vow, you have to keep it. And also, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us the voice, and we have to. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Today, through the story of Jephthah, we have come to understand that once we have made up our minds and made a vow, keeping it with all our heart is God's good will, carrying it out is God's pleasing will, and fulfilling it with all our life is His perfect will. In particular, as we conclude the message on God's good will, God allows us to reflect on Jephthah. This is to show us the path to perfect goodness through the example. Even if we have a heart of goodness that is willing to give up our own lives, only when we keep our promises and act on them, like Jephthah, such goodness becomes complete. Though we may not yet have reached complete goodness, as we begin to put our good intentions into action one by one, that goodness grows more complete. Even though you are not perfect, sometimes it is important to, that goodness grows more complete. As we demonstrate these, we can even attain to the perfect level of goodness. To demonstrate these, you have to guard, keep your heart, keep your promises. The goodness of keeping our heart's decisions and honoring our vows is the very key that leads us into perfect goodness. It is also the path of blessing that brings us to God's glorious place. Now we can understand why our shepherd so strongly warned against the change of heart. When you were filled with the Holy Spirit in the place of grace, you declared, "From now on, I will not look to the world, but pray without ceasing and run towards New Jerusalem." And when you have a burden of sin, when you also repented with your tears and a runny nose and made a resolve not to commit sins and only run towards New Jerusalem, and you prayed that way, but after 1 year or 2 years or 5 years, or 7 years, or 10 years, they have a change of heart. So, what use is it? So, change of heart, it is so harmful in our relationship with God. This is, if we remove this, if only you remove this heart of change of heart, that's why. So we talked about the Jephthah, and as we conclude the message on goodness, and why did they have a change of heart? Because they look back to the world. We have to fix our eyes on heaven and God, but some people turn their steps back into the world. So they forget completely about the grace they received. And we have to examine whether we have such a change of heart. And we have to re-examine ourselves well. And we have to try to change ourselves day after day, today and tomorrow. Through the Daniel prayer meeting, today, did we have... We have to pray. We have to discipline ourselves and apply the message in our lives and pray with tears, and then we become beautiful. But that resolution, that resolve, and it's important that they don't change. If we don't have a change of heart, you will surely bring forth beautiful fruit. As I also look back on my Christian life, there were times I was worried and at some point I found myself having been changed. So with that realization, I shed a lot of tears of gratitude. No matter what people say, if we look to the world, look to God and look to the Lord alone, we can change. You can change ourselves in a way that God is pleased with. You have to examine how you are. Also, the Bible tells us to keep our heart because this is the source of life. We have to keep, hold to the grace we received. And so, why do people despair and have a change of heart? Some people feel that if we receive grace today, they will feel like they can be sanctified tomorrow. Sometimes, but no, it may take. Some people are anxious and they make a vow and make a great wall. But Jephthah has a sincere heart by which he could fulfill his vow. But look at your life. God gives you grace and fullness of the Spirit. But the problem is you don't guard your heart, keep your heart, and didn't demonstrate these. That's why you didn't receive blessings. So we have to repent and we have to become more perfect and whole. And you have to, we made many resolutions, and how have you kept them in mind? How have you fulfilled? I hope you fulfill them. By keeping them in mind, you have to, those who keep them, fulfill them, can see the glory of God. And just as God granted Jephthah victory in the battle and exalted him because he knew Jephthah would fulfill his vow in faith, may you also realize that when you fully trust in God's word and act according to his will, he makes the impossible possible and grants you amazing blessings. I pray in our Lord's name that each one of you who does so will overflow with testimonies and receive God's exceeding love.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.